This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Hey, this is Megan Rapinoe. And I'm Sue Bird. We've decided to turn our crazy IG live show into a podcast for your listening pleasure. Enjoy the show. A Touch More.
New episodes of A Touch More drop Tuesday only on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Blue Wire.
Breaking news, LeBron is a Laker.
Here comes LBJ!
This Clippers team will win a championship this year.
Paul George, corner three.
Yes, sir!
Bryant has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! He banks in the three! And the Lakers win the game!
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the Battle for LA podcast, part of the Clutch Points and Blue Wire Networks. As always, Tomer Zarley here, your Clippers beat writer for Clutch Points. And on the other side, over in Colorado, in the lot nicer weather, Ryan Ward, our Lakers beat writer for Clutch Points. Ryan, what's up? How you doing?
What up?
Everything good? Surviving?
Yeah. Surviving. My little box.
We're all living in little boxes nowadays. We're just going to get right into it. Last Dance, episodes 7 and 8, aired on Sunday. Let's just get your takeaway from it. Because it went back to Jordan's father and, you know, his passing and everything involving that. They mentioned, there's a lot that I didn't know. Like, I didn't know they blamed his gambling for his passing. I thought that was kind of messed up.
It was a big, big deal at the time because they thought it was all connected, all of it, you know, because the Jordan gambling stuff came up when he took his dad to Atlantic City, and then it became a big thing that never kind of wavered. And then, obviously his dad passing and then his shocking retirement. It's one of those things where you're like, I know where I was, even though honestly, I can't remember. I can't remember where I was. I just remember being in disbelief, just being like, no, this isn't going to happen. Why would he do it? Why would he leave it at the top of his game? You know? But everybody, you know, thought it was like a 18-month suspension from Stern. I never really believed it, but I think I was, I was a kid blinded by, you know,
You needed a reason to validate his retiring or going away for a bit, right?
Yeah, well, because it just seemed weird. I mean, obviously he was going through a really tough time with his dad passing, and then the spot. I mean, there was no bigger star on the planet than Michael Jordan. I mean, he was.
Right.
That kind of, you know, stardom can create, I would think, loneliness and a type of isolation that sucks. Right? You feel trapped. And like he said, you know, he felt super content with his decision and he felt free. You know, freedom was a big thing. But the thing is, he went straight back into professional sports. He went and played another sport, you know, which everybody thought was crazy. I thought it was crazy. It was a strange situation. Like, just a series of events was really, really weird.
I found it interesting that he already knew. You know, what was it that when they won their third championship, he said, "My father watched me play my last game." Like, at the time, even though he still considered going to play baseball, and he talked to him about it, and he said, like, you know, just do it, just do it. And he said that, you know, his father loved baseball and wanted him to play baseball when he was a kid. I don't know baseball too well, but it looks like he was a decent player, probably on the come up if he was to continue playing baseball. You know, Bulls owner Jerry Reinsdorf said that he was probably going to be in the major league in a couple months if he just kept playing. If that strike didn't happen, and you know, if he didn't meet with BJ Armstrong for breakfast one day and brought him into the practice facility in 1994 or 95, whatever that was.
The thing that I thought was strange was he never really went into why he quit baseball, right? There wasn't like, I mean, if he was going to make it, then that's a, why don't you go make it and then go back to basketball, right? Why would you leave right on the cusp? I didn't understand that. It seemed very abrupt and with no explanation. I mean, that first episode, or seven, surprised me how deep it went into all that stuff. Don't understand why he just quit the way he did with baseball and then just decided to go back to basketball.
Well, he met with BJ Armstrong. I had that breakfast, you know. I guess the love of the game just came back. I mean, probably simple as that, right?
But the guy is such a goal-oriented person, right? Like, he came so close to being a major leaguer. Why not get to that point and then go back?
That's true. Right? That's true. He was someone who's...
Like, check that box, go back, and win three more titles. I don't know. I thought that was... kind of left up there. I mean, I get that. I mean, he was so damn good at basketball that it probably was tough to play another sport and just be kind of mediocre when you know you can still be the best basketball player on the planet for another
Well, there was the strike, right? So we didn't know. I mean, at least I don't know. It made it sound like there wasn't a concrete future for baseball right away. Like, there wasn't, no one knew when they would come back, when they'd be able to play. Stuff like that. So
that's true too.
I feel like, you know, you're not going to waste, take that into you're not going to waste parts of your prime, or, you know, the end of your prime athletically to just more wait. Time.
Yeah.
So, you know, probably best to just get back to basketball, get back to what you were doing best, probably rediscover the love after being away from it. Like, they showed him watching the games when he was in the clubhouse. After one of the games. He said, like, I'm like a fan now, but I can still, you know, react to them just like a fan. So,
Well, and thank God that strike did happen then. Because who knows if he would have come back. And then that would have changed everything. I mean, who knows? Maybe the Rockets keep it going, or the Orlando Magic win a couple titles and Shaq never goes to L.A., It's funny when these little things happen, or maybe not little things, but like if it would have gone a different way, how different the league may have looked, you know? Maybe you don't see Kobe in L.A. God, who knows, man? That would have changed everything.
Just a can of worms you don't want to open, because it's just so many different dominoes that would fall if he doesn't come back.
Well, it's like the Chris Paul trade, remember? When we talked about that, and how if that actually went through, how things would have completely been changed. And the whole NBA would look different, you know? You'd never have Lob City. Maybe Kobe wins another ring. That changes the whole GOAT conversation, you know? Like,
yeah, it's just so much. Just, I think one of the biggest what-ifs for me was the Timberwolves having two draft picks and selecting point guards. And not picking Steph Curry, I think that's one of the biggest what-ifs for me.
They picked. That's another one.
I think they picked Johnny Flynn and someone else. I forgot who.
Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio.
Wow.
I still remember.
Well, Flynn was out of the league in like a couple of years. And Rubio was made solid, sense. But he didn't turn into, Steph Curry. So
What people thought he was going to be, yeah. I think he blew everybody away in the Olympics when he was like 17.
Yeah, he was balling out for Spain.
Everybody's like... Mm-hmm. This guy's the next guy, or the next great point guard that we're seeing. But yeah, he just never turned in. And sometimes I forget that he's on Phoenix.
He's on the Suns. That's just.
Yeah, like, really?
going back to The Last Dance, though. I found his reasoning for wearing 45 interesting. I didn't know he just felt like he needed a change. a change in, you know, going back to 23 would be weird because his father saw him play last with that. So, I mean, again, I'm a young guy, so this doc is certainly teaching me a few things as we go along. There are things that I knew. There are some things that
I didn't know. Hallelujah.
Oh, dude, you should see my brother. He changed after the first episode. He changed his iPhone wallpaper to Jordan, and he goes up to me and he goes, yeah, Jordan might be the GOAT. And I'm like, it's been one episode. I'm not saying you're wrong, but it's been one episode.
He has seen the light.
Yeah.
He has seen the light. No, but with the whole jersey thing, I thought, from what I remembered, was that the Bulls retired 23, and he couldn't wear it because it was a retired number.
He couldn't wear his own number?
That's what I thought. That for some reason, that's what I remember. And then I remember when he just changed it. What was it, game two against Orlando mm-hmm. Magic? And he got fined every game that he did that by the NBA. And I thought that was really weird. I was like, what? Why? Just switch it back. I mean, you already sold a ton of 45s, I'm sure. Just go sell more 23s. I don't know.
Who was it? Was it Nick Anderson who said 45 ain't 23? Or Penny Hardaway said 45 ain't 23? And then Horace Grant was like, man, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, I think it was Nick Anderson. Or Horace Grant said it was Nick Anderson who said 45 ain't 23. And then, you know, he said, oh, what a big mistake. Why would you fire up Jordan like that? And as you mentioned, he changed his jersey game two, I think it was. They did lose that series. But next season, well, didn't they sweep him in 96? They swept him.
Yeah, well, 4-0. That was the 72-10 season. And then they just destroyed teams in the playoffs.
It's incredible to me that they could go 72-10. In his first full year back. That was incredible. Yeah.
Talk about determination.
Yeah. Oh, that's another thing I want to talk about. Steve Kerr, the altercation with Steve Kerr was interesting, I guess you could say.
That was infamous back then. Because there was no video. There was no real explanation. I mean, I heard more of an explanation last night than I did 20 years ago. I just remember being like, oh man, Kerr must be a punk trying to fight Jordan. But I mean, the way that they both explained it made a lot more sense. They earned his respect instantly after that. And then what was it? I think it was the second title Kerr won with them. He hit the game winning shot against the Utah Jazz.
I think that's correct, but I'm not sure. I don't remember.
One of the games.
That far back.
It was free throw line jumper.
Oh, against the Jazz. Jordan, okay.
Jordan acted like he was going to take the shot, wait till he got doubled, and then pass it to Kerr at the free throw line. And he just nailed it.
I thought there were two parts where I saw Jordan get emotional in this doc so far. Maybe I'm missing one. But one was his father, discussing his father. And the other one was when he said, well, he was asked, did you think that your drive to win sometimes came at the expense of being looked at as nice? And then he said, you got to win as much as I do. It's if you can't know if you've never won, stuff like that. And then he just got emotional and he said, break. That was the end of episode 7, I believe it was.
Yeah, you're right.
That's not a moment I expected him to get emotional, but I think that still goes to show that, you know, I think it did come at the expense of being looked at as nice. Like, he is perceived as a dick right now. He's perceived as like an asshole. Is that wrong? I mean,
well, yeah, but I mean, if you look at all the guys that said that, right, was it Will Perdue saying he was an asshole, he was a jerk, whatever, and then he says, well, but when you look back at what he did it for the betterment of all of us. Right. And led us to multiple titles. So it's like, in a way, Jordan sacrificed that part, right? Sacrificed being thought of as the nice guy or, you know, to be a, you know, the friend with teammates or whatever, so they could win. And obviously it worked. And they, even Will Perdue said that it worked. Right.
Right.
I think Bill Wennington kind of shared the same sentiment, but,
At the time, though, that must have been a pain in the ass to deal with.
Oh, I'm sure. Especially when it came down to, you know, fights and all that stuff. That's
Scott Burrell seems like a genuinely nice guy. Even Jordan was saying, like, he tried to rile him up and piss him off and get that, you know, stand up for myself and fight back sort of mentality. And he just never came out in a bad way, which I thought was, that's impressive to have that kind of collective effort. I think to never lose your cool. That was impressive, especially with Jordan right there.
You know, what's funny is, last night after I was watching this, I remembered my uncle who passed away about 10 years ago, I think. And he was my, like, driving force for competitiveness. I mean, I loved Jordan at the time, and I was all about it and all about getting better and improving my game and all this stuff. But my uncle was, I think he was a sergeant in the British Army, and he was hard-nosed. He was good at every single sport. And so he pushed me when I was a kid. We used to play volleyball a lot, like on the beach and all this, and he'd destroy me. I mean, he'd destroy my team, right? We were always on the opposite sides, just destroy my team. And I remember, he's all this, you know, like hard teammate, you know, like pushing and going too far and all this stuff. And I remember when I was a kid and he beat me. And we were on the beach, like Manhattan Beach, and we go back to, you know, the family, and we sit down, and the first thing he would do was go to the cassette or the stereo that we had, and he'd play the song from the Beatles, because we're all from Liverpool, right? So we all love the Beatles, called I'm a Loser.
Oh, my God.
Blast it. And he'd sing along with it, and he'd just look at me, and I'd be just pissed, right? Just pissed. But that's the way he was, and he kept pushing me and pushing me and pushing me. And then I remember, like, 2 years later, we played, you know, the family was playing, and I had hops at the time. I was just getting, you know, my body was just coming into shape, and I was in really good shape playing basketball all the time. And I went up for a spike, and he was right there on the other side of the net. And I spiked it off the top of his chest. Oh. And it just went flying off. And he starts grabbing his chest. And everybody all of a sudden thinks he's having a heart attack. And I didn't give a shit. I was like, well, you shouldn't have been there. And he starts grabbing it. And, like, everybody's, like, running to him. And he didn't have a heart attack. He didn't. But it was like one of those kind of like moments, right? Like a vicious moment where, like, I was just so wrapped up in the competition part of it. But I get all this tough love from Jordan, right? Like, I grew up with it. I grew up with it, you know, my whole life. So that's why I think I respected it the same way. And I look back at my uncle now and I just think I wouldn't be the same person if it weren't for him. You know, there's just no way. I wouldn't be where I am.
I think
no way.
I think it's just different types of leadership that's being shown. Like, we've seen, you know, I think obviously Kobe and Jordan have the same style of leadership where it's, you know, force everyone to get better and play up to your level, or you know, just elevate their game by just bringing it out of them, I guess, like, aggressively. Obviously LeBron has his own where he's more of a, you know, I think he's more of a teammates first kind of guy. You know, throughout his career, he's been that way. He's always been about his teammates. He's, like, you know, point forward, always looking to get his guys involved first.
Yeah, he's like, you're going to get traded. You're going to get traded. Yeah. You're going to get traded.
You're not biased at all.
I always thought LeBron was a little too soft in comparison to
Too soft to how?
Well, in just in terms of the way he ran things, he was very passive aggressive. I mean, He would pass on taking the last shot in the beginning, and I didn't understand why. I mean, half the times I'd watch him with the Cavs in the playoffs, and he's dishing off. I'm like, dude, why aren't you taking that shot? You're the best player on the floor. Take the damn shot, right? And it, you know, then he forced his way to Miami, and he teams up with these other superstars, and then he gets killed in the in the finals by a Mavs team. I don't know. It's just a different style. I mean, obviously he's successful and he's in the GOAT conversation, but I just don't think he has that killer mentality that Kobe and Jordan did. They're just different.
It's a different leadership style. Yeah,
it's different. But you can't deny how successful Jordan's style was, or even Kobe's.
But you can't deny LeBron's?
17 years, and he's only got 3.
Ooh.
That's all I got to say. I mean,
I hope the guy who said that I'm biased is listening now.
He's got more opportunities. He's had way more opportunities, and he hasn't come through. So that's where I stand on it. But
I will say that Jordan had the opportunity to play against some mediocre coaching, I would say. Like the idea of not putting Gary Payton on him until the defensive player of the year until game 4 of the finals is asinine. What George Karl got away with not playing Payton on Jordan for 3 games?
So that's the excuse you're saying?
I'm just saying that LeBron has gone against some legendary teams. The 73-win Warriors.
Jordan didn't?
I'm not saying he didn't. He took some of them down, but I don't know. You look at the competition otherwise.
The Bad Boy Pistons, Boston Celtics during their prime. I mean, he had to battle through all these guys.
I'm not saying he didn't have great competition. He did. But LeBron has had some tough ones too. I mean, is Jordan beating the 17-18 Warriors with KD, Steph, and Clay?
You'll never know. You'll never know. What's the point of debating something?
Has he faced a team that good? Has he faced a team that good though? No. He has not faced a team that good.
Exactly. But I tell you what, I think he'd run through the fucking Mavericks. Like, I don't think Dirk Nowitzki and a bunch of guys that are past their prime are going to beat Michael Jordan.
Yeah, that series is one where there's just no excuse where he just didn't show.
And he was in his prime. LeBron was in his prime.
Yeah.
D Wade was in his prime, or like, you know, tail end. Chris Bosh was in his prime.
Well, I will say for that series though, D Wade was the number one on that series. He was the number one guy. That wasn't LeBron. And if they don't give up that, you know, they went up 2-1 in the series, and the one loss was like a 15-point comeback with like 7 minutes left. So if they don't lose that, they might be up 3-0. Maybe. I mean, it's a weird hypothetical,
You could do all these maybes, and this would happen if this shot was made, blah, 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 blah. But in the end, that you just would never see Kobe Bryant or Jordan fall apart like that. It would take themselves to exhaustion.
Well, the Lakers did lose in 2011 to that same Mavs team.
No, yeah, they did, and they deserved to lose. They just didn't have it that year. They didn't. But Kobe had already won 5 titles at that point. He won back-to-back twice. Right?
But they did lose to a mediocre Mavs team, according to you.
But they weren't mediocre. What I'm just saying is I couldn't picture Jordan losing to those guys. Like, just kind of – because, I mean, LeBron in that series, he just didn't look like LeBron, right?
No, he didn't.
And I didn't understand why. It made no sense to me. None.
Yeah.
Or even how the Spurs were able to take him down.
I still don't know if there's an excuse. Which Spurs? Is it 2007?
Well, they played the Spurs twice in the finals during that stretch in Miami, right?
Yes. Yes. 2013 and then 2014.
They barely won because of Ray Allen saving their ass. Oh, here we go. Right? So if you're going to go with all the what ifs, there's a big one right there. Like Ray Allen pulled that out.
One of the best shooters in NBA history doesn't make a 3-pointer?
Well, yeah, the whole thing would be different, right? If that shot doesn't go down.
All right, well, what if Steve Kerr and John Paxson don't make the shots?
True. Well, that's what I'm saying. You can't get into this what if game. I'm just saying it's. The way LeBron played, and it seemed as if he just gave up.
In 2011, yeah. Yeah. And yeah. He was not great in 2011.
That's pretty big in the finals. right? No. You don't give up in the finals, bro.
Sure. You know who did give up on the way to the finals, though? That was mentioned yesterday.
Scotty?
I did not know. See, young guy, didn't know about that either. Didn't know if Scotty just gave up on the team like that. And I think the worst part is that Kukoc actually hit the shot.
Yeah.
I think if he missed, it would have been like, okay, whatever. Maybe it still sucks that he gave up on them, but, you know, maybe it was.
The sad part is that was overshadowed by Scotty being essentially a punk, right? Like, why do you – I mean, who does that? Who says I'm not going in?
That's low. That's bad.
Come on, man. Like, even Jordan mentioned that. He's like, oh, he's never going to forget that. And he won't. And then even – I couldn't believe that Scotty said that if it happened again, I'd probably do the same thing.
Like,
really?
What?
Really? Come on, dude. Come on.
I don't understand it. Like, he didn't seem like a sort of egotistical guy.
No.
But he
was in one of those positions his whole career where he was always the second guy, right? Even when he left, you know, he had he led a great Portland team who I thought was really good. And if it weren't for Kobe and Shaq, who knows? Maybe Scotty goes and wins another title, right? But he was always overshadowed by Jordan. Always.
Yeah, but so they made it seem like he was the different kind of player than Jordan, where he wasn't about his ego. He wasn't about making everyone play up to his level by being a dick. He was sort of like, you know, arm over your shoulder sort of thing. Like, you'll be back. You'll be better, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean?
But so that's just
out of his character, it looked like. Completely out of his character.
That was just weird. I mean, I get it. You know, Phil didn't want to go to you, but then you got, you know, Jordan, who would defer to Steve Kerr and Paxson to hit those big shots at times.
That's the biggest thing, where they've had role players do it in the past. And even Kukoc said that he's had that play drawn up for him a couple times in the season. I think Phil Jackson
Kukoc
said it.
That he hit a few game winners and they showed them, right? So you can't – I mean, obviously it was the right call. It was the right call. It worked. I don't know. Scotty's a – got kind of a complicated history, I would say. I mean, with the contract thing, or like, you know, when he came in and he said he was going to be better than Jordan.
When did he say that? Was that at the beginning of the doc?
Yeah, it was like when he was a rookie and you got Charles Oakley slapping him around.
Yeah.
Like, really? You're going to be better than Jordan? It's ambitious. But
to his credit, that was early in his career. So, I mean, all right, whatever.
I mean, people say stupid shit when you're young.
Giving up on your team after winning three titles and odd.
Oof.
Odd.
I'd be curious because they didn't really let Phil Jackson probably say what he wanted to say, right, about that situation.
They should have. They really should have.
I would have been interested to hear, like, you know, I mean, that's a selfish move. Just take yourself out like that.
Could you imagine that in a game nowadays? That happens.
Oh, God, that.
The scrutiny you'd get for that.
You might get traded.
You probably do get traded.
Right? Because that would be on Twitter for weeks.
Forever.
And then for the whole offseason, that would be the one topic everybody's talking about with the Bulls, right? And like, oh, what do they do? Do they trade him? Does he ask for a trade? Blah, 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 blah. And it would probably eventually turn into a big deal and him getting traded. But I mean, that kind of was like Scotty's kind of, he was always on the trading block at the end there, right? Like, always feeling underappreciated, not getting paid in, obviously, but it was his decision to sign that 7-year deal or whatever.
Right, but he also wanted to renegotiate it, and they'd won a couple titles and they still could have renegotiated it. But Reinsdorf and Krause were just kind of being.
But they didn't have to. Right?
Of course they didn't have to, but you should do it out of good faith. The best franchise in the world, blah, blah, blah. You won three titles and, you know,
well, even the owner
win championships, not just the players. Krause,
this has really made Krause look terrible in every way possible.
Oh, yeah.
The
worst part is that he didn't have a life to defend himself either for this.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, true. I wonder what his family thinks about all this. Probably not too happy about it.
I'm going to pause real quick to tell you guys about BetOnline. You might think that there's no games to bet on right now with no baseball, no you know, hockey, no basketball. But you'd be wrong. Our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props you can wager on. They have their online casino, to poker, blackjack. They're bringing Vegas right to you. Are you missing the NFL? Well, that's no problem, because BetOnline has live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations that you can bet on. You got a Ravens sort of thing you got to fit in. Just bet on the Ravens right there. You can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, stock prices, and even the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. It's all open 24 hours a day and all online. Just go to betonline.ag and use promo code BLUEWIRE to join today to receive your new welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online wagering solution. And for the guys, any of you guys looking to last longer, maybe go a few extra rounds, all you got to do is get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com is the first ever chewable that brings your performance in the bedroom to another level. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know that they work. And since they're chewable, they work even faster. You can take them anytime during the day or night, and even on a full stomach. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in a pharmacy line. Blue Chew's online physician is free of cost, and once you're approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you guys. Just go to BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code BLUEWIRE. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew, BlueChew.com. Use promo code BLUEWIRE. That's BlueWIRE. Before we move on to some NBA news that's been trending, we have heard, or we've seen the trailers, and you know, I got a screen of it recently, of the new documentary, or Quibi documentary, called Blackballed, the LA Clippers documentary. I think it's like a 10 or 12 part episode series where they chronicle the 2014 Clippers playoff run and dealing with then owner Donald Sterling, who came out to be a racist douchebag. yeah, just I was going through. That's going to come out May 18th, by the way. I believe May 18th. It's going to be 10 to 12 parts, something like that. Chronicling that era, that time, you know, Doc Rivers is interviewed. Chris Paul, I think, helped direct it. You know, JJ Redick, who else? DeAndre Jordan, Matt Barnes. You know, Kenny Smith appears in it as well. Stephen A. Smith, I saw the first episode. Stephen A. Smith was in it as well. That's one that I kind of can't wait to look. Like, I really want to see that one. I saw the first episode and I'm already intrigued, but. Man, that was such a weird time in the NBA. Just it was during the playoffs, 2014 playoffs. I think the Clippers and Warriors were going at it.
Yeah.
One.
I was gonna say, were they playing the Warriors when they dropped their warm ups in the middle in the
half court? That was game 5, I wanna say. Or game no, it was game 4. It was game 4. This came out after game 3. Yeah, I went back and listened to the tapes like a week ago. Man, those tapes are something else, man. Have you listened to them?
Was that the one with the Shelburne?
No, that's not. It's the tapes where he says his racist thing.
Didn't she do a piece on it? Or like?
Yeah, she did a podcast thing.
Oh, okay, right. Kind of a piece of shit, yeah. The guy was terrible. I you know what the sad part is? How long he was able to own a team. Right, and get away with what he was getting away with, and the fact that players—I mean, you didn't hear about it until it all came to head.
But listening to the tapes, and you hear like him saying, "You have to flaunt taking pictures with minorities," and I was just like, "Geez, this is a thing that actually happened." Like this guy was just I look back into his history; he had like lawsuits for discriminatory rental practices where he didn't. Lease out, or he tried to kick out minorities out of buildings, and just a total douchebag. It looked like just a major asshole, just a dick.
The sad part is there's a lot more of these kind of people in this country than you think, right?
Especially now, I'm sure.
Yeah, it sucks. I mean, it is, the people in power and the people with money. It makes it 10 times worse because they feel entitled and then they feel like they're right no matter what. And they have the money to try and pay for that privilege. You know what I mean? And he was the perfect example of that.
Right.
The sad part is the guy's still rich. sitting back doing whatever the hell he wants.
I mean, he got a few billion dollars for the Clippers, so
yeah,
probably still sitting well.
Yeah,
but yeah. That documentary comes out May 18th. I mean, I'm gonna probably watch it, preview it a bit, talk about it probably on next week's pod once it's out. But yeah, I can't wait for that because I remember watching that series and just you know, he did like an interview with Anderson Cooper, I believe, in the next round after they beat the Warriors, and just a wild, wild ride. I think it was Adam Silver's first couple months as commissioner of the NBA, and he had to deal with this already.
You know what? I was thinking of that. What was it yesterday? I was like, damn, Adam Silver has gone through everything you possibly could in the amount of time that he's been commissioner.
It's only been like 6-7 years.
Exactly. And it's like one thing after another. I mean, it's incredible. And the way he's been able to handle it all and act quickly when things needed to be done, unlike the NFL. he's done an incredible job. I was going to say I don't think he gets enough credit, but maybe he does get his due, because everybody respects him.
Well, he's had to deal with the Donald Sterling scandal, most recently the China controversy, this pandemic now, anything else since? Am I missing a couple things in between?
He was after Donahue, right?
Yeah, he was way after Tim Donahue. Yeah, Stern handled that one.
Deputy commissioner at the time.
Yes, I believe so.
I mean, it's pretty. I mean, and then the fact that, you know, shutting down the NBA when he did as quickly as he did, not thinking about it and letting it go on until something worse happened, you know.
Yeah, that was smart not to take a risk that way. I commend him on that. He's had to deal with a lot. He's had to deal with a shit ton since taking over. So yeah. Props to him on that. But the news, the latest news that came out does involve Adam Silver. He did have a meeting, or I guess more of a phone call with players, all NBA players. I think it was a Friday. You know, where they discussed. Adam Silver told him, you know, if the season does pick back up, that there aren't going to be any fans. And he's also preparing players to play without fans next season as well, at least until there's a vaccine widely available. You know, Sham said that, you know, 40% of the league's revenue currently come from fans. And I guess, you know, them going to games and tickets and all that stuff, which is a lot. I mean, that salary cap is going to be drastically reduced next year. And we don't even – that could really affect free agency. Guys are going to opt in. Guys are going to get a lot less money than they expected. The decision to go, you know, about when to resume the NBA season, right now we're at mid-May. Adam Silver said it doesn't have to be by the end of May. It doesn't have to be by the end of June either. So it looks like we could be in for, you know, we could find out that the NBA is picking back up in July, for all we know. But still too early to know. Recently, I think a couple teams also opened up their practice facilities, namely the Cavs, the Nuggets, I believe it was. I know that the Rockets came back to their facilities Monday. The Clippers, Lakers, and Warriors are also looking to sort of get back into their facilities soon. I think the Clippers did a few workouts very recently. I want to say is maybe early as last week, late last week. Jared Dudley, for one, has been sort of hinting at this on Twitter. If you follow him, you can see, you know, when it says, you know, 2 months down, one more month to go, you know, as a player who's been on that call, I mean, you kind of go, what does he know? Does he know that we're picking back up in, you know, June, July, something like that? I don't know.
I think there's no way that they don't start this season back up again. I just don't see it. I mean, the tweets that he's been throwing out there and how, like, it'd be disastrous for the NBA if they didn't start it up again. It's got to be. They're going to at least try it, I would say. I mean, at least get it going, see what happens. Keep them in a bubble. Or like you know, you were telling me before we got on how it could be the Western Conference teams in Vegas and it could be the Eastern Conference teams at Disney World. That makes a lot of sense to me. It makes perfect sense, right? You limit travel. You got you're not keeping all the teams in one city, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. I mean, even though a place like Orlando or Vegas could hold that many people,
right,
and keep them contained, it's still a bit ambitious, right? It's a bit over the top. But if you cut it in half and you put them in two different cities, I think that's, it's plausible.
Yeah, asking players to go their separate, to go away from their families for about probably what, 2 to 3 months. I mean, not all players, you know, all these teams that are playoff teams, but that's still tough. It's not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. I mean, if you want the NBA to pick back up, that's what's going to be necessary, but it's not going to be easy.
And I think at this point, everybody wants to get away from their families.
You think so? We have a lot of time to make up away from them.
Oh, yeah. I don't think people have spent this much time with their families ever.
Yeah, no, this is certainly a new, unprecedented time and just different. But yeah, so I'm with you on that. I think of a Vegas, Disney World sort of, Vegas and Orlando return makes sense. Obviously, it'd be sort of AAU style basketball where, you know, you're playing games from like probably what, 10 a.m. until 8 p.m. or something like that, or 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Obviously, the ratings are through the roof. You've got probably a bunch of ads in between. I still don't know how it's going to look with an empty arena. It just sounds wild.
That's going to be the weird thing. I mean, are you playing music the whole time to drown out the silence?
Yeah, I think we talked about this briefly. I think you're going to have to play some kind of just the regular music of like defense or stuff like that, just for some kind of normalcy, even though
because all you're going to hear is sneakers and players talking. I mean, players talking would be interesting, I'm sure. It's going to be strange. I can't even really picture it in my mind. I keep thinking of, like, you know, watching pickup games or something, you know, like it just silence, but you're just waiting for your turn. But in the professional level, that's weird.
Yeah. I think you would need the sounds, the arena sounds, just to make it seem normal or as close to normal as possible. Cause otherwise it's just going to be like an open scrimmage, a televised scrimmage, which is just weird. Hearing the coaches scream and the sneakers squeak and, you know, all the, I just wonder when there's going to be like a poster dunk, what's going to happen? Players just going to yell. Like when Russell Westbrook is driving down the lane, dunking with no fans, is he still screaming at the seats?
Yeah, what is he going to look at? I was thinking of that too. I think I saw like a highlighted John Morant doing a dunk and screaming at the crowd. And I'm like, how is that going to work now? Like, are you going to scream at your opponent or the team, your teammates on the bench or what?
Maybe just look up and scream. Just scream into oblivion or something. I don't know. Just stream into the realm. I don't know.
Tell you what, though. That first game, whoever it is, whoever is playing, is probably going to be the most watched game in a very long time, right? Just because everybody will just be interested. I bet people who don't even watch basketball are going to watch it. Just to see what it's like, right? Because it's going to be such a surreal thing, such a weird thing. I bet the ratings will definitely be through the roof. I mean, it'll be like, you know, the Jordan doc. It'll be like the NFL draft, how that got, you know, huge ratings. It's going to be interesting. From start to finish, it's going to be interesting.
Whoever has the first game of any sport will be probably the highest rated.
Then there was the UFC this past weekend, right?
Yeah, that was weird.
I didn't watch.
Because like they announced who won, and then they were like, "Yeah, here's your winner," blah blah blah. And then he like put his arms up in the air, and there's literally no fans, and it's just like, "Oh boy." And then Joe Rogan comes up and he's like, "Hey, blah blah blah, you won this," and I'm like, "That's so weird, man. There's just no one there."
Yeah. It's just that energy is gone, right?
But it was talked about. It was talked about a lot on Twitter, for example. So. I think that's the goal, obviously, just to be talked about and get guys to watch it again. So maybe that's just the end game. Just get people to watch it again and get back to normal. As close to normal as we can get, I guess.
I think Alex Caruso was tweeting about it. And that's how I saw it.
I mean, Shaq, for example. Shaq the other day said, you know, came out and said, don't bring the NBA back. I don't think we need to bring it back. You know, which I don't think there's a right answer to this, because if there's always going to be a risk of contracting it, and I just don't think that goes away unless there's a vaccine. So what, are there just going to be no sports until there's a vaccine? Like,
yeah,
I feel like if you do want to bring it back, you should just bring it back. Whoever, you know, obviously provide testing. And if someone tests positive, hold them out for a few weeks. And then, I mean, bring them back. That's the only solution I see right now.
So, the thing is, like, if say they do bring it all back, and then one player tests positive and then another player tests positive, I wouldn't be surprised they shut it down immediately. You know, just like, okay, this is not working. Gotta think of something else, or just cancel the season and give it more time. Just like how they shut it down with the Gobert testing positive, right? And just everything within a couple hours.
Well, Adam Silver also said he wasn't the first player that was actually tested, just the one that was tested positive. So mm-hmm. they were doing it beforehand just to see if the guy had it or didn't. But yeah, I just don't see a world where, if you do want to bring it back, where you have to wait till there's a vaccine. I think it's just going to be, you have to sort of live with it. It's the new normal for a bit. No, I don't think they should. I don't think they should risk that. I don't think it's worth it, to be honest. But it is affecting a lot of livelihoods. So I don't know. It's a weird position to be in. Like, you know, we talked about it beforehand. Like you said, the Premier League is cleared to resume practices and could start back up on June 1st.
Liverpool will be crowned. Liverpool will be crowned. Hallelujah.
Who's their biggest competition over there?
Nobody right now. I think they're that good. Well, I don't think anybody's threatening them. I think they're so far ahead on the table that it's just a matter of time that they
win. That's not you being cocky, is it?
No, that's me being honest.
Okay.
Believe me, I've been very – with Liverpool, I'm always like, okay, I don't know. Manchester City, you know, Manchester City is always the one that's, you know, they're tough, they're stiffest competition, at least over the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But they're so far ahead. I think they just need to win 3 games.
Out of how many left?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, we'll see how many are even there when they pick back up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Premier League could pick back up June 1st. Just earlier today, MLB owners approve of giving players union, you know, a plan to start around the 4th of July. So the MLB could start back up, but it'll be in baseball parks and in ballparks without fans. So that'll be another interesting thing to see if they are able to get approval, considering, you know, testing isn't widely available for now. I mean, the NFL has been scheduled, you know, they released their schedule. They had their draft. They had everything pretty much. It's like they're expecting everything to be normal by August when their training camps start, preseason starts. Obviously, yeah, the regular season opener is on September 10th, 2020, Texans Chiefs. I don't see how they're ready for that, to be honest. Because, I mean, it's still two or three months away, but, you know, we've gone through 2-3 months since March, and it's been like, it feels like nothing has really changed.
Yeah, I don't think they're worried. I think the NFL is just like, yeah, go ahead, all you other leagues can figure this out. And by the time it gets to us, we'll just be able to be business as usual. You know, like you said, you know, you don't think that's going to happen, but.
Didn't Von Miller test positive and they weren't even in season?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how many players are on a roster? 50, 53? What is it?
53?
52, 53? That's a lot of players you're putting together.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean.
And coaching staffs and I mean, the assistants, the water boys, just.
Geez. One thing with the NFL that, I mean, at least I've noticed over the years, is they don't take action until shit really hits the fan. Right? Like they act like there's no problem until it's so glaringly obvious that there is one, that they have to do something, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised at this kind of response, or like, you know, wait and see, or I just don't think they're taking it as seriously as everybody else, at least right now. I think it's because the NBA and the MLB are actively losing money, right? They're missing time. This right. is their time. To shine. The NFL is only on for what, 4 months?
Four or 5 months, yeah, pretty much.
So it's they're just like, oh, whatever. We'll wait for our time and
then we'll deal with it.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that's the way to go with that one. I really don't.
It's not. They better be taking this seriously, because if not, they're going to get burned. Bad. Badly.
Jeez. All right. Well, I think that better wraps it up for our episode. Trying to get a guest on for next week. We'll see if we can surprise you guys with that one. But in the meantime, yeah, please, you know, as usual, follow Ryan Ward on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Ryan Ward LA. You know, only LA stuff right now. No, I just need sports in general, dude. I need sports back. I'm going crazy.
So why? I'm honestly at that point where I'm like, I got to get out. I got to do something.
I just miss what a basketball feels like and shooting one.
Oh, me too.
I don't know what that feels like. I feel like I'm going to look like Shaq shooting the first time, like shooting a free throw.
Last time I played was with you, I think, at that Santa Monica.
Oh, at the gym. Oh, that's right. Our little,
3 months ago?
Yeah, that was like March 9th or March 10th, I think. Wow, that was 2 months ago. Wow, 2 months.
Feels like 6 months.
Yeah, definitely. You can follow me at Tomer Azarly. That's TomErAzarly on Twitter and Instagram. As always, subscribe to the podcast. Give us a 5-star review. You know, any comments, questions, suggestions, concerns, leave it for us wherever you get your podcasts in the review, whether it's Apple, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart. We're everywhere. Check out our previous episodes. We just had we had some snippets of Pau Gasol on our last pod where Ryan interviewed him in a one-on-one exclusive. We had Caron Butler before that. We had guys like Adam Morrison and Josh Powell as well. So we have guys. We're looking to get more guys. So I hope you guys keep tuning in. Share with your friends, family. If you guys enjoy it, we appreciate that. That's pretty much it for this week. Hope you guys enjoyed. And we will catch you guys next week.
Peace.
Zenni's Blox lenses help to protect the eyes by keeping harmful blue light out. Because they're virtually clear, add Blox to any Zenni frame for stylish, all-day protection. Get a complete pair of prescription or non-prescription Blox glasses starting at just $24. Protect your eyes now at Zenni.com.